Hi there. You're about to enjoy the Chronicles of Tom and Jamie.
Hi, everyone. I'm Kevin Mann.
Hi, guys. My name's Annabelle Knight.
Hello, this is Becky Baldwin.
Hello, I'm Chesney.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Brayden from Say We Can Fly.
Hey, this is Ian from the band Amongst Liars. It's Adam from Amongst Liars. You are listening to the amazing Tom and Jamie at the Chronicles of Podcast. Enjoy, baby. So it's Tom and Jerry, yeah?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 127th edition of the Chronicles of Podcast. And these right here are the Chronicles of Amongst Liars. It is I, the bearded Brummy Jamie, and joining me, as always this week, as always, this handsome fella right here.
It's a Scotsman, Tom. I know, we have a guest, and welcome to the Chronicles of Podcast. Hit it!
Ladies and gentlemen, this week we are bringing you two very special guests. This week, our guests are members of an incredible group coming straight out of Eastbourne, a band whose last record won Great Music Stories of the Year 2022, and no doubt their upcoming record will do exactly the damn same. Here to talk all about their brand new upcoming record design and so much more, this week we are joined by vocalist Ian George and drummer Adam Autumn as we bring you the Chronicles of Amongst Liars.
Oh, I feel like we're going back in time a little bit. It's kind of weird.
I'm getting deja vu. I don't know about
you
guys.
I know what's going on.
No, this is definitely the first time we've had this conversation.
I felt like I spoke to you before.
Oh, anyway, Jamie, you had a question you were asking.
I did have a question I was asking. Gentlemen, before we talk all about all things Amongst Liars, I want to take you back to the days of your youth, back to yesteryear. What did you want to be when you were a little boy growing up? Let's start with you, Ian.
I think, like I said, I still haven't grown up yet, and I still don't know what I want to be. I think when I was growing up, I got into music quite late, I suppose. I didn't really get into music until I was about maybe 14, 15. And from that moment, I thought, this is what I want to do. But before that, I kind of fed lots of sport and did stuff like that. So I played, you know, rugby, cricket, hockey, football, that kind of stuff you do as a kid and stuff like that. And I didn't really have a kind of ambition. Still don't really. It's like trying to be a musician. Fuck it. And so that's, you know, and then from when I started doing music, I got bitten by this bug, you know, and it was just literally, that's what I want to do. And I'd just play and I'd play and I'd play and I'd play and I'd play. And it was just something that kind of, from that point onwards, it's something I've always done. So that's basically me.
Going from sports to music is quite a transition, especially because you were playing so many different sports as well. I'm assuming it was hockey as in on the concrete, not on the ice.
Yeah, no, I'm a shit ice skater. Yeah, I fall over. I don't even go there. But it's like, over, bang. But yeah, no, I mean, it's like, I mean, I think my mum and dad were like really sporty. And so I was kind of brought up doing what they did. And I just did loads. And it was kind of, and then when I got to the point, I suppose I was still doing sport and stuff. But then I was just like, yeah, sod it. And I think I played hockey quite competitively and stuff, like, because that's what they brought me up on. I literally was born, I had a hockey stick in my hand from the age of two, and they played, and so I was playing from quite a high level and stuff, and then I got my fingers smashed up, and I was playing at the time, I was 15, I think 16, and I just started doing music, and I started off playing saxophone. It's not very rock and roll, and Bowie did it, so I kind of got away with it. And then I got my fingers absolutely shattered in this tackle, and this kid just like smashed me, and it's blew up, broke two of my fingers, couldn't play any more saxophone. So I picked up a guitar and when I was probably about 16, and that was it. And I just wrote songs. And so it was a bit weird. And so that, and then that kind of, yeah, I suppose it kind of put me from sport to music. And that dictated everything, really. And then music's a bit more kind of less strict, isn't it, with your lifestyle. You can kind of go out and you can drink and do what you do, and you don't have to get up at stupid o'clock to play a sports match, I suppose. So I kind of like that.
Yeah, safer as well. Yeah. No sticks involved.
Exactly.
Halfway through a drummer.
Yeah. I could just see you play guitar with this broken hand. Like,
this works.
Luckily it was my right hand that got broken. Obviously my strumming hand. So I can, obviously, if it was the other one, I'd be screwed. I'd be like Hendrix or reverse or Kurt Cobain or something like that. But it's like, but yeah.
Just got this image of you lying on the ground, be like, I could never be David Bowie now.
That or like Spanish flamenco players, like
yeah.
What about you, Adam?
Mine's a bit of a cliche because I've always wanted to be a drummer ever since I can remember, because when I was so high, which I'm still that high, I used to nick my mum and dad's pots and pans out of the kitchen unit cupboard in the kitchen, lay them all out, get my dad's wooden spoons, like, and just start hitting and making an absolutely awful racket. I've kind of always wanted to do that, but funny enough, we're quite a sporty band, because I was really into my sports too, football and boxing, but I played more football when I was younger, and I was just, yeah, it was either music for me being a drummer or being a footballer, but I think I'm better at drums, to be honest.
Yeah. Who's your team?
Liverpool.
Oh, and you're from down south. Interesting.
And I'm from down south. I know. Yeah. And I went all the way up to Liverpool to see Liverpool v Brighton as well, and confused a lot of scousers that I said,
yeah,
I was red.
What about you, Ian? Who's your team?
Thing is, I was brought up in Devon, so Exeter City is my team.
Okay.
Which is, we don't really kind of talk about that. it's like they've always been there or thereabouts. The massive thing about Exeter City is that they were kind of credited with starting football in Brazil, as in, well, the national team and stuff. They went over to Brazil back in, and so every single, and they would, like, their team went over, and every few years or something like that, Brazil come over. They always, as part of their tradition, their history, they come over and play a match at Exeter City, which is quite a cool fact.
That's, yeah, fucking sick.
Yeah, because they went over there. Were professionally trained. I mean, this was back in the kind of early 1900s, I think. So they were one of the first professional football clubs. They went across to do that. So that's cool. But they never, so obviously never got better. Brazil did.
Wow.
But, yeah.
I mean, just go back to you, Adam, about you saying that you're a Liverpool fan from near Brighton. I'm Scottish with an English accent, and I support Aberdeen. So go figure.
Ah,
yeah.
Sick.
So I'm with you. I'm with you there. So you're all good. Yeah. Awesome. But I just discredit my entire country, not just my town. You know what I mean? So.
Well, you both said that love of music came from an early age, but where did that come from? Specifically, the love of, like, alternative rock music. Was it from your parents or outside influence? What was it?
Yeah, mine was my dad just loved rock music, and it's funny, my mum loved rock music, but she also loved everything else. So I kind of grew up in a music family where I'm hearing all this music. So if my dad's in the kitchen cooking, he'd have every rock music. But if my mum was, like, I don't know, ironing in the living room, she'd be playing, like, I don't know, like soul or like Madonna or something. And I'd just be like, go, mum. And then I'd be like, right, I'm going to go in the kitchen, listen to some rock now with my dad, and just be like, ah, like, how's the stir fry going, Dad? I think I just grew up among it, so I just grew up loving it all, really, loving all genres, all music.
What about yourself, Ian? Is it a similar story? Or?
No, not really. It's a bit more random. My dad always had, like, records and stuff, and it kind of had Beatles and stuff on all that kind of Beatles and Stones, and we had a vinyl player. We never really listened to that much music, and it was just like, it was something I kind of got into, and it was a bit, yeah, it's a bit random, because my mum, she's a bit musical. She started playing, like, the kind of piano and stuff like that. But that's when I started playing stuff. So it was a bit later on. And then I didn't really kind of grow up around loads of music. It was just something that I came to me, I suppose, eventually. And it was something that I just kind of just thought, okay, well, I want to do that. I want to write these songs. I want to do these kind of things. And it was actually completely opposite to Adam. It was like, I never really thought of music. My mum was actually a teacher, and I went along to the school I was at, was not obviously the school she was at, and they had a really good music department. And I remember going in, because obviously she couldn't get, well, there wasn't childcare or anything, or she couldn't get anyone to look after me. And she said, I'll come along to this school concert. And I thought, oh, Jesus, here we go. It's going to be like classical shit, or people singing and follow. And then all it turned up, and all these kids, and they were playing like drums and guitars and like rocking out. And I was like, what's this? And I was about probably about 14. And I was like, this is something I never experienced before. And so, and then that's how I got into saxophone, actually, because the music teacher there, I said to my mum after, I said, I want to do that. I really want to do what they were doing. And I met the just kind of the saxophone teacher. He's an old kind of really good jazz player, and he kind of did stuff, and he was just like, yeah man, this is cool, let's just play music and stuff. And I was like, okay, let's give it a try. And I kind of got bitten by that point, by actually going to that concert. I think if I hadn't gone to that concert, it might be a different story, I guess. But it was one of those things, it was so random that I went along to this, and it just changed my life completely, filled me with misery and despair. And it's like, be a musician, don't do it kids.
I've never heard an origin story like that before. It's normally like, oh, I saw this song or saw this band. It's like, no, I went to a school concert and it was like, inspired me. I love it. That's awesome.
But these kids were literally just rocking out. They were just literally, they were playing rock and roll. They were playing kind of all this kind of stuff. And it was just like, wow, that's cool.
That is awesome. But for yourself, Adam, what was it about the drums? Was it a particular performer or a song, or was it, what was it that lured you in?
Do you know what? I don't actually know, if I'm honest. That's a good question. But it's from an early age where I can't even remember. Like I said, with the pots and pans thing, I was like 18 months old. But I just grew up just watching Queen. Like that was my first love. And then as I was getting older, like I started watching Led Zeppelin with like John Bonham and things like this. And then just the love of drums. I like guitar, but something about the drums, maybe it's because I was an angry kid with a lot of energy, I don't know. So it kind of suited me, and just more fascinated I got with it. And then I think my mum and dad gave up and was like, right, we'll get your lessons, because we can see that you obviously really want to do it, and we need our saucepans and pans and everything. So they booked me in for drum lessons at night, and rest is history. I just kept playing drums.
That's awesome. 9 years old. That's awesome.
Yeah.
He's only 12 now. So pretty 3 years.
Fucking 3 years I've been playing.
Struggle when you go on tour.
Anyway, I've got some homework to do. So I'm gonna yeah. Bedtime. Yeah.
So for yourself, Ian, you said like you started off saxophone, then guitar. So how did singing come around?
I think I just literally, when I got the guitar, I thought, all right, I'd write songs. I didn't want to do this lead kind of stuff. I was interested in listening to songs and stuff and playing songs. So I think I got given an Eagles songbook for a birthday present or something like that, which is random, again, for an Eagles. I mean, it's like, why? Really random. But the way they write, it's just like, I think it's a random relative that said, and it's just massive, the encyclopedia, it's about that big, all these Eagles songs. I was like, okay, and I just like picked it up and just started just like saying, okay, let's try and play that, and try and play this, try and do this, and then I kind of just, yeah, I think I've got a Beatles one as well, and it was just all this kind of classic sort of thing, I suppose. So I thought, like, naturally started singing, I suppose, with it all, and then I started writing my own songs, and it was just, it kind of something that's happened from there, really. And then I think it's, you kind of play and you sing, and then you put it out there and someone goes, oh, you're all right. You can actually play, you can sing. And you kind of, it builds on, you get the confidence, I suppose. And then you just kind of, that's the way it sort of works out, really.
I love the idea that flicking through going, where's Hotel California? Where's Hotel California? Yeah. That is an all-time, that's a classic. My dad used to play the solo to that. That's all he wanted to play was that solo. So he picked up a guitar, I was like, I just want to play that solo and I'm done. Okay, fair enough. But obviously, you guys have formed, you guys have not been together very long, band-wise, have you?
No, not at all. I mean, coming up, it's just 4 years now.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. Yeah. But what I want to know, I know this question gets asked a lot, which is, where does the name come from? But the reason I ask this is because I'm always intrigued by what you had originally before you got there.
we can't say some of the names we came up with, I think. It was literally the hardest thing to come up with, wasn't it? I mean, it was just like, it was mad. It took us, we probably wrote the first three or four singles before we came up with the band name, because we go in a group and we're just throwing ideas. And there were obviously loads of names that are taken. There's loads of names that are not taken, or there's loads of names that are just shit, or there's loads of offensive names you can't obviously come up with when you get pissed. You just throw it into a group and you get pissed and you go, ah, what about this? And you go, no. Nah. And then you've obviously got four. There were four of us to start with. We're five piece now, but we were kind of in that kind of, I suppose, yeah, we're just throwing stuff into a like messenger group, weren't we?
And oh, so like, many names, yeah, it's just like, yeah. Ding, 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 yeah, ding. Yeah. Like, these are all crap.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, we had, yeah, so we ended up coming up with a name. We kind of took the ABBA route. So we were like initials. And Liars is Leo, Ian, Adam, Ross, and then we just put an S on the end. So Liar and Liars was the first name that we came up with. So then obviously you look on Google and Spotify and you're like, well, there's millions of liars, like artists. So we were like, right, we need another word to go with it. And then again in the group chat, bling, 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 all these like, it was just like, that's crap, that's crap, that's crap. And then a month came up and we were like, fuck it, let's just have that. There's too many of them. No, we quite like the amongst. So we went for amongst liars. Sounds quite like political as well. We're not exactly a political band, but it's quite a cool statement. So it stuck. And then that's what we had.
That's incredible. I just, for some reason, had it in my mind that you got rid of a band member for that reason. That was all. Seem to be amongst liars here, yes. That's that explanation was way better. So fuck what I said.
But you guys had a really unique origin story, because weren't you basically two bands merged into one, essentially?
Yeah, it was. I suppose it was more kind of the three of them, the LAR. And then I was the I, but it was like kind of, if that doesn't make any sense, does it?
I got it. You got it.
That's good. It's good. Yeah, it's good. Yeah. I've had a drink. Don't worry. and it's just, it was weird. Yeah. Because I was in a band called Catalina Kicks, and we were doing lots of stuff. And then Adam, Leo and Ross were in a band called St. Apache. We kind of met on the road. We were doing a tour and they were doing a tour, and we played one show together at Rebellion in Manchester back in 2017, I think. And they were obviously with a different singer, and we were the three piece. We'd been going for a few years and stuff, and it was going okay. And then we kind of stayed in touch, because obviously by that point I started off living in London. I moved down to kind of near, I suppose, between Brighton and Gatwick kind of way. And I sort of stayed in touch, and I followed them on Facebook and saw the stuff they were doing. And it seemed to be going really well. I really liked the music as well, and what the kind of stuff they were doing, and the vibe that they had. And I remember my band just went absolutely tits up, because the drummer went a bit mental and just ended up joining a cult, as you do. And leaving the country, leaving his wife or his girlfriend at the time, leaving his kid and stuff, and just saying leaving the band. And it was really bizarre. And so I then sort of thought, remember sat on kind of just over breakfast thinking, what the hell am I going to do now? And all of a sudden this kind of flash came up, and I thought, I remember that I'm seeing that St. Apache parted ways with their singer, Tom, about maybe 2 or 3 months before that. And I thought, okay, I'll just reach out and see what happens. And sent them a message and pretty much give it a couple of hours, got back. And then I had a chat with Leo, met him, because obviously pretty close, to probably about 45 minutes drive from where he was. We had a chat, we talked about the kind of things and the kind of the trials of life and the things you do and bands and the chittery of it all. Kind of realized we're on the same page and said, let's just go for it, let's give it a try. And I learned some of their old songs, and then we just sort of jammed and it worked. And that was that, really. So it was very quick. It was really lucky.
That's all right. I'm still a bit shocked by the whole cult thing. Sorry, that just I mean,
it's a story and a half. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, of all the, it wasn't a Nigerian prince, was it?
No, not. I don't think so. But it was really random, because it was like we did some festivals over in Holland and met these guys. It was a band. I call it a cult, but this guy was very cultish, and it was very kind of weird. And his band were very kind of, I don't know, that kind of that weird sort of vibe, I suppose. And I kind of, when we were doing some shows with them, they invited us back to Holland to kind of hang with them and play some more shows after this festival. And so we kind of did that. We went back out there, and he kind of, the main guy from this, brainwashed this guy into saying, we're going to be a really famous band and we're massive and we're going to do all these things. They weren't obviously massive and they weren't doing loads of stuff at all. And he basically got this guy, and he was probably going through a crisis in his life anyway, I don't know. And he just basically brainwashed him and saying, right, I'm going to stay in Holland. I'm going to do this stuff with you. And I'm going to be in a really famous band and it's going to be massive, which obviously wasn't, because he came back with his tail between his legs, I think, to the UK probably about 3 months after that. But oh, and he'd given up and he gave up everything and really started his life again. Oh. And, you know, whatever, I haven't spoken to him to that point. You know, he just had this major meltdown and got kind of completely, I suppose the way I see it, kind of hoodwinked. So the fact you leave your kid and you leave your, no, whatever, you're not getting on with your missus or whatever, your partner or whatever, it doesn't matter, but your kid, it's like, it's a bit fucked up, isn't it? Yeah. It's like, oh, and so that's... and it was, yeah, it was very bizarre. And it was, but at the same time, you know, I kind of owe him, because if it wasn't for him, and we were doing some big stuff, we were doing some good stuff, you know, we supported Franz Ferdinand, we supported Paolo Nantini, we'd done some stuff and some festivals and some big shows, but I think we're doing bigger stuff already with Mike's Liars. So it's, yeah, if it wasn't for that, it wouldn't have given the impetus to actually do this, and given the, I suppose, that kind of impetus to actually say, right, let's push something into this, because we've both been let down in that way, and we want to do more, you know, and keep going.
Fuck. Yes, that's massive blessing in disguise. That cheers, yeah. Cheers, pal. Appreciate that. Thank you.
all you can say is drummers.
Ah, oh, no,
exactly.
We're all the same. We're all loose.
But how come you decided to start a whole new band instead of you just joining their band as a singer?
Good question. I think you guys want, didn't you, Adam? You wanted a kind of fresh start as well, and the kind of, because my style was Tom, the old singer, was quite kind of shouty, so it's kind of had that kind of gallows feel to it, and it was a bit more same kind of music, but with that kind of more kind of shouty kind of vocals and stuff. With me, I'm not so shouty, I'm a bit more kind of melodic, I suppose. And so I think the whole idea was like both of us wanted a fresh start, and that's the way I kind of see it anyway.
Yeah, I find singers are very, like, you, even though you have your grassroots, your sound and everything, I think you have to mold with your singer. And even though I'd heard Ian's music, I just knew, even if I hadn't heard his music, I knew that we would have to adapt into, and our last singer was very kind of like, he came from a screamo background, but he tried singing, so it was like kind of like rah-rah singing, whereas Ian was a lot more melodic, so that adapted us, and then we kind of adapted, you know, the whole band and sound adapted to suit Ian.
For some reason, I now want to hear a screamo singer over an R&B track. I don't know why. That's just when you said you had to mold it around a singer. It's just like I had this feeling of, like, if you were like really soft acoustic-y type stuff, and you got someone like, whoa, it's like, yeah. So I kind of get why you have to obviously mold things around Ian, because obviously you don't want to go completely off the way he sings, because then it wouldn't work, would it?
And no, you don't see Usher going with, I don't know, Slayer, do you?
Yeah.
I want to now.
Yeah. I should do that, yeah.
It's Usher doing Rain in Blood. Oh, that would have been a Super Bowl halftime show to remember, that would have been. So just going to bring it back to you, Ian, like, your lyrics, are they quite personal to you, or do you do story-based stuff? I know you said you weren't political, so... are your lyrics based around, I can take your inspirations from life?
Yeah, I talk about life, basically, what's going on. And there's, you know, anything from, like, things of experience or stories you kind of see out there and stuff. You know, I mean, our first single was, I suppose it was about, I mean, Over and Over, the first song we ever released, that was about kind of just, I suppose, about being reborn and just like kind of doing stuff and being strong and kind of getting on, and the kind of story about the band coming together. And then other songs were like, and then I wrote a song called Kill the Tide that was about the previous band that was like kind of fuck off, that kind of way to him, sort of thing. But then, you know, and then other things were like things like, I don't know, I mean, there were talk about, you know, Black Days is clearly kind of about, you know, the how shit the Tories are, and have been and stuff like that. And it's kind of easy songwriting material because you get pissed off, you know. And I was in the point as well. And then we've got Cut It, that was about domestic abuse, because we do a lot of thing about mental health, because I've been through quite a lot, and so have other guys in the band, stuff like that, in terms of mental health and the way and kind of coping with it and making coping strategies. And one of the coping strategies for mental health for me is actually writing music to actually channel it into that. So that's a really important thing. And I think off the latest album, I'm the Shameful was the song that's first come out. It's quite political. We don't openly go, fuck the Tories. We kind of talk about it and say, well, you know, there's all these things going on. Let's kind of have a discussion about it, rather than saying we lean this way or this way or whatever. But it's just like saying things aren't right. Let's just put it out there that things aren't necessarily right. I get inspiration from all of those things. I think it's quite, like I said, at the moment, it's quite easy to get inspiration from stuff going on in the world because there's so much shit going on, but there always has been, I suppose. And so you kind of, it's not negative, which I'm trying to put a positive spin on it all at the same time, rather than saying, oh God, yeah, this is so bad and blah. But it's like, it's more to do with like, right, this has happened. This is our stance. Let's take some positives from it. Let's see what, you know, talking about it, or let's do this or let's do this and see what kind of we can get out of it, I suppose.
That's cool. I love the fact that these, like, a lot of musicians now are more than happy to express their feelings. Because let's be honest, you look at music back in like the 70s and 80s for rock music, it's like women, drugs, booze. Yeah. As now, people are using music as a form of therapy in a sense. And often, I think it's really inspirational. To see people who are more than willing to talk about how they're feeling, and it helps others get through that as well.
Yeah, definitely. And we've had people kind of, we put a song called Mind out, and that's going to be on the new album, but we put that out a couple of years ago as a single, and we had loads of response to it. We did it for charity as well, and we had people, you know, people messaging me literally kind of like saying, oh my God, I can't, you know, this video meant so much to me because, and I remember actually playing it to the PR guy we were using at the time. And he said, I've got to stop because I go through massive mental health problems. This has really put everything in perspective. And that kind of means so much. I suppose you go through your thing and then you can try and kind of relate that to a song, but then other people can hopefully get some kind of energy or strength from to actually say, well, you know, this is the way my life is, but you know, I can listen to this and try and get inspiration. I listen to a lot of Bring Me the Horizon, for example, and stuff. I think they do it in a similar kind of way, really. Mm. Whereas, you know, I was talking to someone the other day about Linkin Park, is that when you listen to Linkin Park's lyrics to start with, you didn't really kind of get that's what Chester was going through at the time, because they were songs, if you see what I mean. Mm. Whereas after he committed suicide, you suddenly thought, shit, all of that stuff, and you know, kind of if you, and it was so, I think that's why I want to put a positive spin on things, I suppose, more than having sort of, let's just talk about the kind of negative side of things. And you've got to talk about both, and I think it's really important to talk about stuff, especially, you know, feelings, emotions and stuff when you're anyone affected by anything in the world, I suppose. And it's just, it's a good outlet as well to actually kind of do that, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. Adam, how do you come to structure songs then? I'm assuming it's, here's a riff, drum to this, I'm going to write over this. Or is it, here's lyrics, and now let's work around that?
No. It normally, it's quite similar to what you said first, actually. It is normally like, here's a riff. But like, normally what happens is, like, Leo will come up with some type of riff. And I normally say, no, that's rubbish, but I like this little bit. What if you could do this with it? And then he might do something with it, and then he might, and I go, oh, repeat that, and then he'll suddenly come up with something for it, and maybe I come to it. Kind of changes all the time, and before you know it, you kind of have this structure skeleton of a song, but maybe there's some missing bits in it or missing parts, and then we might call upon the others and be like, something's missing here, what would you do? And then, like, Ian or Ross or someone would just be like, oh, what if you did this? And we'll be like, that's it. That's what we need. But we make songs from loads of different angles. Like, sometimes, like Ian and James might get together and do something and then bring it to the table. So it's always coming from different angles, I suppose. But mainly, I suppose, we have been used to being guitar and drums and then bass and then singing, kind of like an order. But we are changing that more and more as we grow as a band.
Yeah, I suppose it's good that you don't go, yes, that's great, to everything, because obviously then you've got to have that combination of people being like you said, like, that was shit, but that was phenomenal. Let's keep that and I'll build around that. No, okay, now that works. And then so that's good.
I think the guys know more than anyone. Like, I am the worst to be pleased. I'm just like, I'm always going, that's crap, that's shit, what's that about? Like, things like that. And then as soon as I hear something good, I'm just like, and I'm like, don't let go of that. That's brilliant. What we can do now is, and then it kind of rolls quicker. I find if we're trying to fight a song, it's so slow to get to the final product. Whereas it's good and it's rolling. It just happens very quickly and naturally.
Fucking teenagers, eh, Ian? Just never please them.
No, no, isn't it? go to bed.
I don't know, we've been talking all about the music and all this sort of stuff, but what we haven't actually discussed your sound. So the people who are listening to this who never heard you guys, how would you describe the band's sound?
Very Usher, a bit ambient.
Usher doing slow.
Lana Del Rey thrown in. Yeah. Run some Frank Sinatra in the middle eights.
Oh,
I don't know. I never know how to answer this question because I find it quite hard. I get the amount of times you get, oh, what did your band sound like? And I'm like, just go listen to us because I don't know. I find it hard. There's too many influences that come our way with having five members. I don't know, Ian, how would you describe us?
It's difficult, isn't it? I mean, because we're not, we're not like, I don't know, it's bizarre. I don't know, haven't heard a band that's kind of like us. We've got elements of melodic kind of stuff in, but then, you know, you look at, it's really difficult to talk about. It's difficult to talk about influences because you listen to lots of different styles of stuff, you know, so it's really tricky to kind of, I mean, that's one thing about, I never want to be pigeonholed in the band to say, oh yeah, you are the next Royal Blood, or you're the next Bring Me the Horizon, you're the next Architects. But it's like, it's a melting pot of everything. We got, you know, it's riff heavy, it's heavy modern alternative rock. We've got more synth, we've got experimenting with loops and stuff in there now. And it's something that I suppose that we just kind of, it's that melting pot of modern melodic alternative rock, I suppose, in a nutshell, with a bit of Usher thrown in. Good measure.
I mean, how many times, Ian, do we get told, like, I don't know where to pigeon you? What band?
Yeah.
I've heard that quite a lot, but yeah. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Because one, what band would we support? Because you'd have to have a kind of a like for like. But then again, like, you want to have a organic or unique sound as well. You don't want to sound like someone else because you might as well listen to them. So
exactly. Yeah.
I mean, I did see that you supported Theory of a Dead Man, and I was a bit like, after listening to your album, I was like, really? Because that must be fucking cool to begin with anyway, just getting to support them twice. But like, I feel like you're heavier.
Yeah. We're a lot heavier, and it's weird coming out and supporting them, because it was obviously their kind of, I suppose, they're great what they do. It's very kind of, but it's very kind of, it's melodic American radio-friendly rock, and they've obviously made a massive career out of that. And so that's what we were thinking when we first kind of did the shows, thinking, what do we do? Do we pander to their audience? And we kind of do the kind of, we've got more kind of softer songs like Drown of This World or Mind or whatever it is. Or do we just go balls out and just go, fuck it, just throw what we do at the audience? And I think people that are kind of into that, kind of just generally kind of into rock, and whether it's, and we got the melodies, I suppose, that kind of lends itself to get that. And we, you know, the supports we did with them last year in September were amazing, because people were really getting into the stuff we were doing. And it wasn't, you know, we are heavy, but we're not kind of massively heavy. We're not kind of, like I say, we're not like screamer or anything like that. But we had that kind of, you know, we have that vibe of the melody that people kind of latch onto. And same with Aaron Jones. We just come off a tour with France with him as well. But he's very more kind of, I suppose he's got that kind of, he's got an edge to him as well. And he's great, and his band are awesome. But again, we're a lot heavier than what they're doing. But they've got that kind of that vibe, and it just works, I suppose. So it's difficult to say what we'd kind of ideally support, because I don't think we're kind of in the realms of Bring Me the Horizon or Architects. I couldn't, but then at the same point, could we? I don't know. It's really random, isn't it? You don't pigeonhole yourself and you just do what you do and see what happens, I suppose.
Yeah, it's a really good problem to have. To be the fact that nobody sounds like you is quite a nice place to be in, I think, because I think maybe people go, we'll try Shinedown, or we'll try Nickelback, or we'll try, you know, this. So it's good to be like going with a mixture and eclectic different people, because you're reaching masses of audiences that probably would normally never listen to you.
Yeah, definitely. And we're doing lots of collab tracks at the moment. We're doing a collab track with Aaron, and we're doing a collab track with Michael Dead Posey, American as well. We played a show with them. It was awesome. We're doing a couple of things with some Finnish and Swedish artists, and someone from a band called Ruse. And she's great as well. She's Australia at the moment. So we're kind of just like experimenting, I suppose, with trying to see what we can do with our songs and what they can do as well. And it's kind of just putting everything into a pot, because music at the end of the day, it's just making something you enjoy, I suppose.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But I feel like we should get to the whole topic of why we're here this evening. Your brand new album Design is out on July 4th. Adam, I'm going to start with you. Excited for the release?
Yeah. It's like a long time coming for us. We've been recording these songs over several sessions in the studio. We normally record up in Manchester at Red City Studio. So that's great. So like we literally can't wait. It's like I said, it's been a long time coming. So we can't wait to see like what you guys think and the reviews and all the feedback. So we're buzzing. We can't wait to play all these tracks live as well.
Ian?
Yeah, what he said. I mean, it's been a long time coming. We did it in a few sessions and stuff, and it's been a couple of years since and it's pretty much the same time 2 years on. So as soon as we finished the first album, we started writing, we started doing bits and pieces and doing as much as we can, and we've been putting out singles, getting some kind of feedback and playing more and stuff, but now it's getting closer, and we're really kind of buzzed about it, and we just want to put out as much as we can. And we just got this tour that's just been announced, so we're going to be going across the UK in July. It's going to be doing that, which is going to be awesome. So it's just really June, July are going to be really busy time, which is amazing, because it's just doing what you love, I suppose.
Yeah, no, and absolutely. And before I let Jamie speak, sorry Jamie, literally as soon as I put it on, it literally sounds like someone's just kicked the door and gone, by the way, I'm about to melt all your fucking faces for 11 tracks, are you ready? It's fucking great.
Thank you.
I was gonna say, we were fortunate enough to get an advance cop, listen to it, and fuck me, guys, it is incredible. It really is good. I'm not just saying this because you're here. It is absolutely incredible. And I don't think I could describe it as well as Tom did then, to be fair, because that is just, it's spot on. But you have released two singles, Alibi and You're Not a Slave. How have they been received?
Yeah, really well. I mean, we've actually released four singles off it now, because we started off the album cycle back in, that's all right. We did The Shameful. Because originally the album was supposed to be coming out in March. It's supposed to be out now, but we went back and we kind of did some collaborations and we did some bits and pieces and got everything right. We wanted to get everything right before it was kind of ready. So then we put it back to July. So You're Not a Slave and Alibi, the two latest ones, and they've gone down really well. We actually started out a French tour with You're Not a Slave, and we want to hit audiences right with that from the start. It was just like peaceful faces, like you say, being melted off. It's brilliant. They were like kind of all this kind of, oh, we're looking forward to some nice classic rock. And then it's like, which is brilliant. So we thought the statement track. And that was actually the last song to be recorded on the album as well, because we thought that was a reworking of a St. Apache song. And so we wrote a new chorus for it, and we kind of got the vibe from it, which fit really well. Alibi has gone down really well as well, because it's kind of different sort of vibe, I suppose, with everything. And it's kind of a bit more melodic. And then before that, we did Ready for This and then Shameful. So you've probably had half the album pretty much already. Then we've got Vice is coming out next, which is another kind of different feel to it, a bit more kind of synthy, that kind of moderny kind of vibe. So yeah, it's cool. It's like it's like I say, it's just everything's gone down really well. And we played the tracks pretty much on the tour as well, and they all went down well. There wasn't one that we finished and someone went,
yeah.
That was a good test, really, because if they hadn't gone,
We would have just like dropped it from the album, probably, wouldn't we? So it's like...
I really, really hope that you started those shows off with "Bonjour, motherfuckers," and then started.
We should have done that. Pretty much, didn't we?
Merci, Buku.
Oh, I'm surprised we didn't like end it with "Bonjour."
French. That would be amazing. I'd love if you started with "Merci beaucoup, motherfuckers," and then ended with "Bonjour." Yeah, that would be absolutely amazing. Like proper Del Boy. Like, what the fuck is going on here? Monge two.
Oh, be chucking tomatoes at us in no time, wouldn't they?
Exactly. Don't think it would end well.
Sorry. Let's just start throwing like baguettes and fucking pano chocolates.
Mind that.
Every French stereotype.
Sorry, any French people listening. Sorry. No. Apologies. We'll move on swiftly.
I was going to say, do you guys have any particular favourite songs off the album? Like, personally, "Vice" and "No Control."
Thanks. I think, for me, it's what the album was named after. "By Design" is, I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be a cracker. That's probably one of my faves.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the sneaky peek on "By Design," we're probably going to be releasing the album track with a collab. So you haven't heard it yet. We've got a Swedish lady who's going to be singing on that with us as well, so that hasn't been seen yet. We're just literally getting that finished, so that might be the track that goes on the album. But yeah, "By Design" was a biggie for me as well. I love "Vice," and we've got a piano version of "Vice" as well, which is really nice. And that was the first track we did with James, because he brought that in on keys, and we played that song, and I thought, fucking, that's got a cool riff. I love all this. I don't know, it's weird. I really like "Say," because that's very personal as well, because it's very acoustic, it's completely different, and it's something, but it's just kind of just, I don't know, it says something quite personal in terms of the kind of story of my last year or something like that. But yeah, I think, I don't know, it's difficult, isn't it? But I think "By Design" is like, I agree with Adam on that. That's why we call the album, I suppose, and the whole meaning behind it and the whole vibe of it. And it's our kind of directions, where we're going. I think that's it for me.
Fucking, I mean, Adam, do you struggle with like track listing? Do you struggle to be like, this song should go at the top, this one should go near the end, this one should go in the middle? Like, did you struggle putting the songs in order for the record?
I forget the names of the songs.
Okay.
So when I've got a sheet next to me on the drums, I'm like, what's that one? Hopefully the guitarist starts it with a riff and then it'll click. Oh yeah, it does. Great. Here we go.
You should be doing your homework, yeah. Adam. Come on.
I know. I don't know what it is. I just forget them. But track listing. No, I wouldn't say I struggle with an order of it, because I don't know, you know, now and again, we all have a hand in like track listing when it comes to playing live. And I think I've said a few times, oh, can we do this one? Well, like Ian said earlier with "You're Not a Slave," we put that first because we just wanted to bang straight in. And then we might ease off a little bit, then a slow one, then back in. But we all have a hand in choosing track listings, like whether it's be an album or playing live. And it's quite fun, really. I quite like it.
Is it the same with like what you want to release as singles?
Yeah, kind of, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I think we have had a few like, oh no, this should be next or this should be next. And then there might be a reason we'll be like, oh, okay, we'll make that third or we'll bring that one when the album comes out or something. So it's quite tactically fought between the five of us.
Okay. I was just okay, because obviously with the Spotify generation now, I think a lot of people will like to digest stuff and go, oh, what's next? So I think the single route is now seems to be the way forward for everybody now, because they get, because obviously you drop stuff every time and people go, love it, what's next? Go, here you go. What? And but I think when you drop an album, people just go, oh, I'm destroyed, and go, cool, what's next then? And you're like, well, hang on a fucking, that's been 2 years of our life, that motherfucker. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
That's why we're doing it this way, actually, as well. And that's why kind of we put it back in a sense, because we want to release as many singles and get as much traction off the album, because there's no point, because like you said, you spend a fortune going and recording, you spend the writing a song, and you might have the best song in the album, but no one hears it because it's number 6 or 7 on an album and people just don't get it or don't hear it. And so that's what we thought, right, let's put as many singles as we can. And I think we'll put out, yeah, Shameful, Ready for This, Alibi, You're Not a Slave, Vice is coming out. Then By Design, so 6 songs plus Mind and Wolf Machine have been out already, released earlier. We've remixed, remastered them. So that's 7 songs already that have been worked off the album. Plus we've got some collabs that we're going to be doing as well, putting that out, alternative versions and stuff. So there's no, yeah, it's such a waste otherwise, because you, like you said, you spend so much time writing a song, and then for it to go into this kind of Spotify ether where it gets completely lost, you know.
Yeah. It's a weird world for the music industry at the moment, isn't it? Like the digital age, shall we say. God, man, I feel old.
It's true, though. Yeah.
It is. But yesterday you announced a headline tour in July to support the album. I wrote down all the cities. I did my homework. Eastbourne, Leicester, Sheffield, Manchester, Reading, Cardiff and Wolverhampton. How excited are you to get out there and play these?
Oh yeah, very, very excited. Like, I think that's where we all feel at our best and at home is touring and playing these songs live. So yeah, I can't wait. Like, France was amazing, playing all across there. We had a great time. We had a blast. Met so many nice people. So we get to do it all again, but back on home soil. So it'll be great. And this time I can understand them because I was terrible at French, whereas Ian could speak a little French, so he was all right. And I was just like, what's he saying then? And then he goes, oh, he hates our band. He thinks we're shit. And I'm like, oh, okay, I won't talk to him then. Yeah. But no. So at least I can understand when they say our band shit. But no, no, but it'd be great. So like I say, it's where we feel at home, so I can't wait to play live again.
Amazing. Is it? And I love the fact you're starting the tour at home as well. That's great.
Yeah, that's normal, I suppose, because we're very deep south, isn't it? It's kind of, it's easier to work up rather than coming back. And you've got to either start or end with Eastbourne where we are. So it makes sense to do the album launch and then just go off and come back.
At least it wasn't like Eastbourne, Newcastle, Plymouth,
Liverpool.
like, holy shit.
Yeah. Who organised this?
Plymouth, Glasgow, holy fuck, I'll just stay up there.
Whoever organised it probably works for SO Garage or something.
Exactly, yes.
just briefly, quickly going back to the album, what sets this album apart from the self-titled?
I think for me, it's more, we've kind of found, the first album was like kind of, we were kind of experimenting with our sound, and we kind of ended, you know, with Without Grace on that, which is kind of lent more self, and this was before we actually got James on board as a keyboard player, or keys, not, he says, I'm not a fucking keyboard player, I'm a synth player, but so keyboard sounds shit, sorry James, but I think we were kind of experimenting in the studio with Dave, and he was putting in synth and doing some keys and stuff on it. And that was, that was the kind of perfect end to that album, because it kind of had a bit of a transition onto what we're about. And then obviously we got James on board, and then that kind of lends itself, and he kind of starts in a sense where the album ended, and this one comes in which is us. I mean, it's completely us, I'd say, this one, even though we got, you know, Mind and Wolf Machine that were previous singles, but I think they lent themselves to that kind of sound as well. And I think that's why it kind of sets itself aside, I suppose, in the sense that it's more our sounds develop, or we know in theory what we were writing for on this album. The first one was we were writing lots of songs, we got the best ones that we liked and put it together as an amalgam, but this was been, I suppose, more specifically written that way, I suppose.
So looking at the future, do you guys have like a 5-year plan, let's say, or is it go with the flow, let's see what happens?
Cool.
Thanks for adding to answer that.
We haven't got a 5-minute plan. So. We're winging this interview right now.
Smashing it, might I add.
future plans is definitely play a lot more gigs. We want to play cities and countries we've never played before, seen before. and keep growing like that. Maybe it'll be great to support Aaron again, and it'll be great to support someone new, meet more people. It's all about the experience, writing more music, and just keep on going, because this train has been great, this ride that we're on. So I don't want it to stop, really. So may it continue.
No,
likewise, exactly the same.
You've literally accomplished so much in your short tenure together. Band of the Year 21, Album of the Year 22, supported Dear of a Dead Man, UK two headline tours, BBC Intro Live Lounge session. I was just grabbing it all off, you know, off your website. Like, is there anything you guys can't do?
I can't wash up very well. Mrs. is like, oh, that's a bit crap, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I think that's just a female thing. I think it's just a woman thing. Yeah. I used to get that quite a lot as well. So don't worry, I'm with you there.
Just get a dishwasher. That's the feature.
There you go, does it for you.
Hey, we solve problems.
Yeah.
Exactly. Not just a band. We solve problems.
But like, would she go back in and go, yep, no, that's not done properly. No, come on. Come on, Adam. Music videos, guys, love them or hate them, as in making them, that is.
I quite love them, but I mean it's getting more tricky as about whether you actually kind of need them these days, because in the past, you know, we are quite visual in what we do, and we always wanted to have really good music videos, interesting theories and stuff, and interesting artwork and stuff that can, and so we kind of want to be one of these kind of bands that actually have that kind of artistry with it as well as the music. So, and we've really enjoyed making music videos, and I really like it. I mean, and now we're about to do another one for Vice. It's gonna be different as well, and by design we have to do a treatment for that, which is different. But I think, yeah, I love the idea of it, but it's just it's kind of whether it's sustainable these days, because with the like 5 minute generation, they click on it, YouTube, bang, you know, you see someone getting a million views, he's got a fucking cat dancing on a table,
yeah.
and it goes like, all right, okay, fine, that's brilliant, then it's great, you know, I really like that. But you know, we spent like months writing this song, recording this song, and you get like about 10,000 views. It's like, but it's what, you know, it's what it is, I suppose. It's just what the way, you know, that's just the throwaway nature of the world today, isn't it? But it's just like, all that we could be, that music is just shit. But it's like, but it's just, yeah, I love them. I actually love performing. It's just, it gets a really good occasion to actually get together as a band as well. And, you know, just like kind of have a bit of fun and just play and do. And we kind of put into everything, don't we, Adam, in terms of kind of like making the video, kind of controlling it or producing the kind of direction ourselves as well. So knowing what we want to say, and then we kind of say, yeah, let's try this, let's try this, let's try that. So we want to be kind of throwing out the ideas out there and then see what comes back, and then kind of molding it to something that we really like.
Yeah, see, I'm a little bit different. See, I like it when they're done. But performing them and trying to have the track blaring out at you and you're hitting cymbals is a nightmare for me. And it gets worse because you're in the back. I have to do every single shot while everyone's having coffee and drinks and having a chat. Like, especially Ian, because he's right at the front. He goes, right, just the band now. And he gets to relax. And I'm like, oh my God, trying to hear this track and play exactly what I did last time. Yeah. Like, and I've forgotten what this feel is.
Yeah, yeah. What song is it again?
I was going to tell you.
Adam, we're not playing that song. Oh.
Yeah. Oh, fuck, I've been here for hours.
Yeah. You might want to delete what you recorded.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Is that drummer not in time? What's he doing?
Yeah. That's a different song.
Ian, you mentioned about cat videos, right? I think like the human race has evolved as far as it can go, and now it's going backwards again.
Probably, yeah. Like, yeah. Pretty much, isn't it? Yeah.
We'll all be in caves soon.
Exactly.
Hunting our food down. Yeah, sorry.
There's nothing more infuriating as a parent. Like, we do these interviews, we upload them, we get what views we get, and then I'm with my daughter and she's watching some other kid open a surprise egg, and I'm like, why do they have millions of fucking views? Yeah. And I'm trying to get this. Fuck you, child.
Yeah.
Oh. But, gents, before we start wrapping this up, if people are listening to this and they want to check out some Amongst Liars music, what's a couple of songs from the back catalogue that stand out to you guys? Get people ready for the new record. Give a true taste of what you guys are about.
I'm going to let Ian say this one because I don't know any of our track names.
The one that goes dinga dinga ding, the one that goes bum 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 bum.
I think for the heavier kind of stuff, vibes, I mean, Black Days was a big one. And that's kind of got that kind of riffy vibe. But think, you know, I mean, obviously that's kind of lends itself to You're Not a Slave, that kind of feel. So it's kind of, yeah, that kind of angry sort of rock. And that lends itself to the No Control kind of genre of the thing on the album. Wolf Machine as well. Obviously, that's going to be on the new album. Spoiler alert. And old stuff. I mean,
Cut It's pretty good, isn't it?
Cut It, yeah, definitely, yeah. I mean, Cut It's got a good vibe to it.
That's probably my favorite video as well. It's almost, you guys ever watched Dexter?
Yes.
So it's got that kind of Dexter feel where it's like all like drapey, kind of plasticky. It's a great music video. That was a nightmare to play for because I remember when the drapes came down on me and I'm playing, my stick's got like, it's like a plastic bag. I remember my stick got, I punched a hole and stick's gone. I was like, what the fuck's going on? And then the other one went, and I was like, this is a nightmare, guys. I was like, it's hard enough to do a normal music video. but definitely watch that music video and you can watch how I struggled.
I was really claustrophobic as well, because we were performing under sheets of polythene, but you couldn't breathe, and it was like, oh, it's crazy, wasn't it? It was like, but yeah.
Yeah. And that's what my sticks was getting caught in.
Yeah.
This idea sounded so much better on paper.
Would not have used that instead.
Cardboard.
Yeah. Oh, Mr. Stevens, do you have any more questions for our wonderful guests?
I do. I have one more. In your short tenure, did you ever think that this is where you guys would be today?
The question.
It's very pinch yourself. On certain moments, it's very pinch yourself, and like you have to take a step back and a moment and reflect and be like, oh, this is happening. This is, we're playing in front of these amazing people. We're in this amazing country. We're in this amazing venue. An album is coming out. So yeah, it's quite surreal. Like I said before, may it continue.
Oh. Yeah, definitely. I think it's like, what you said. I mean, music's very much a roller coaster, isn't it? You kind of have your time, and it goes up and it goes down, and it goes up and down, and the kind of thing. And I think, yeah, I mean, to play on the Theory Tour, for example, and in France as well, to play, you know, bucket list venues, coming out to Rock City in front of 2,500 people before Theory was pinch me moment. That was like, fuck, how did we get here? But that makes you want to do it. For me, that wants to motivate me to go, right, I want to do even more. I want to play to 10,000, but I want to play 100,000, yes, and kind of build on that thing. So I think it's the work kind of ethic. We put everything into this, and it's just like, and if, you know, something comes back, it's amazing. And if it doesn't, then something else will happen. And just from doing it, I think, and it's just, but yeah, it is. I mean, I think in 4 years we've done, especially with one of those years being pandemic, literally played one gig and that was it. We were shut down for a year. And so to actually do, you know, 3 years, the things we've done is, I think it's, yeah, this is, you look back and it's like, yeah, I'm pretty happy with it. Still want more, but it's like, but it's just, you got that buzz, you know, music is just like one of those things. You get a buzz and you get a bite and you get a taste of it. And it's just like, you've got to do more. And we love playing. And so that's what it's all about. It's just play. And we'll play in front of 10 people. We'll play in front of 100,000 people. It's just be the same to us, you know.
And long may it continue.
Fingers crossed.
Boys, we wish you all the best with the new album in July, with the tour as well in July. And, you know, the fact that you've already achieved what you have in a short time as a band, I have a feeling that there's fucking huge things coming your way. Long may it continue.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Before we let you get out of here, gents, plug social medias, anything you want people to go and check out.
Go on, Adam.
Everything. YouTube, Spotify, Facebook, Instagram, Tinder, swipe right, whatever. check us out on everything. I'm sure we're there. Look us up on LinkedIn.
Don't think we're there.
Are we not?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not.
Incredible.
Boys, you are legends of the highest order.
Likewise.
Thank you so much. This has been great. And
thank you so much. Cheers, guys.
Look after yourselves. Take it easy, boys. See you later.
Take it easy.
Yeah.
Cheers, guys.
See you soon. Cheers. Bye. Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Jamie, do you ever get the fear?
The fear?
Yeah. Do you get... I can't believe I'm actually going to bring this up because I always take the piss out of you on a weekly basis for bringing something poo-related up. But do you ever get the fear? You sat down on your throne in a public setting, okay?
Yeah.
It's nice and quiet. You're like, oh, I know this is going to be hefty. And then people walk in. But you're on the way. It's on its travels. I mean, and you're like, fuck, I really don't want to make a noise. It's really weird, isn't it? Because you go, I don't want people to know I'm having a massive fucking shit in here, even though it's completely natural and we all do it. But do you ever get the fear?
I know exactly what you mean. Like, I don't have this fear thing. I'm like, I don't care if they know I'm having a poo, but if they know I'm having a massive poo, they're going to judge me. So I need to keep the noise down here.
If it sounds like Free Willy after he's gone over the fucking kid, he's about to splash back in again, then you're like, fuck, say, but it's always the way. They're never quiet, they're never distinct, and you always rip one fucking loud as fuck straight after or before.
I hate unexpected toilet farts. Like, you sit there, so, like, right, ready to go, where the fuck did that come from?
Literally, it's like your arsehole goes, nobody's here, we'll just take this nice and gently, we'll just... Here it comes, here I go. People walk in. Right, I'm having a massive poo over here. Just to let you all know, I'm shitting. Me, in this cubicle, right here, the third from the left, I'm having a massive shit. That's basically what your arsehole does. It wants an audience. It wants an audience.
Do you ever try any of your, like, preventative measures to try and keep the noise down?
Yes, I do. Coughing is a good one. Yeah. Accidentally kicking the side of the cubicle is another. Or clapping.
But then give yourself a round of applause. Yeah.
That was fucking sensational. That bloody hell. Okay. Is that world record? Is that fucking world record? Jesus Christ.
Yeah. There's the classic putting some toilet roll down first so it doesn't splash against the water. I know that one. And I also do the one where you, like, squeeze your thighs together to try and mask any noise escaping from in between your legs. You never tried that one either? Don't fucking work, but try and convince yourself.
Well, no, because we haven't got a front bottom.
Well, no. Well, no, but there's air there for noise to come out. So you sort of try and encapsulate the sound.
Oh, mine just goes from my arsehole, mate. So I don't know where yours is going.
I mean, where the toilet bowl is. You close your legs to, like, cover the toilet bowl as much as possible. I know what I mean here. I don't know how to articulate
okay.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
But, mate, there's no way that's not going to let everybody else know in there. But then there's the other side of it. So, to any women watching this, I'm so sorry. I'm so fucking sorry. We've started with poo straight away. Anyway, what's even worse is when you're going and... everything's been new, so you go and you only need a piss, so you go into the cubicle and then you hear and you're like, oh no. And it's like, oh, come on.
Noisy pooing is just unnecessary for, like, you as a person. No one needs to sit there and go
make straight. Yeah, but it's like they're trying to be subtle, I think. But yeah, there's nothing worse. It's like, do you want a hand? Yeah.
Do you want to hold my hand, mate?
Yeah. Are you all right there? This. Should I come stroking between your shoulder blades and tell you what's all right?
I remember before being next to someone and all I heard after the drop to it was just, oh. It's like, you needed that, didn't you? You really needed that.
What I love, though, is that you can't interpret or articulate just how fucking hilarious it is at the time. It's definitely one of those you have to be there moments for those noises to make you fuck. There was one where a guy was really struggling and I had to really, like, hold it in. Like, I can't laugh because the noises making are fucking amazing. And then obviously because they're straining, they start farting loads because they're pushing. Yeah. And then it makes it even better. And then when you wake up from the fucking smells, it's... No, I'm joking. But yeah, it's always the way. It's always nice and quiet when you go and you go, oh, this is going to be all right, this. Chill out. Oh, a little watch the old phone. Yeah, have a scroll while you're waiting. And then, yeah, as soon as, you know, liftoff's about to happen, or, you know, the rocket's about to go to, I don't know, it's downwards, isn't it? I can't think of it. As soon as the whale's about to, I don't know, whatever's going to deep dive, dropping the kids off that short shit, literally. Some people always walk in.
Always.
And I was like, yeah, so anyway, I was talking to Sandra, and she told me to fuck off, and I tried to touch her ass. There's someone shitting in there. Yeah, so anyway, we should probably move on.
Oh, really?
We should probably move on, Jamie. This really gets on my tits a little bit, and I don't know why. When people don't want to do something. So, for example, this is how I felt. I just saw this. Tony Khan tweeted, watch AEW Collision this Saturday. And somebody wrote, I'd rather shit in my hands and clap. And you know what, Jamie? I'd rather do the activity I don't really want to do. I don't really fancy shitting in my hands and clapping. Shit will go everywhere. It will absolutely stink. But another thing, so no one needs that. Yes, it's another shit story, sorry. It was going everywhere, wasn't it? It's just like, why do you want this unnecessary mess that you didn't even need because you didn't want to watch a TV show? Makes no sense. Actually, makes no fucking sense.
What is the need in that reply? Do you honestly think Tony Khan's going to read him like, oh no, he's not watching
oh, no,
my show?
That's not what I'm talking about. I don't give a fuck about that. What I'm talking about is the actual activity of like, well, I better go to those public toilets then and fucking take a massive shit and put it in my hands for no reason. So I'll catch it so no one knows I'm shitting in here. And then smash it together for no reason. What if it's fucking huge? What if it's runny or slimy?
Oh.
And no one needs it. Do you know what I mean? No one. But then the other side of it then is when people just go, I'd rather stick toothpicks in my eyeballs. Why? Why are you making your eyeballs olives? Weird. What are you doing? Oh, I'll put a bit of pineapple and cheese on that as well. Lovely stuff. No, I didn't really fancy watching Desperate Housewives. So yeah, and I'm now blind for the rest of my life. Moronic. Stop doing it.
It is a rather stupid statement. I do love the idea of him standing outside the arena waiting for Tony Khan to leave and going, fucking told you, didn't I, Tony?
Again, it's nothing to do with AEW. It's
I just meant him actually doing it in front of Tony Khan. I just found it an idea funny.
Yeah, I think he would get arrested by his security guards, probably tackled to the floor, and then cover them in shit at the same time. I mean, that's one way to get people off you.
I was going to say, they'd run towards him and go, yeah, do you know what? Maybe not, mate. Yeah, I'm good, actually.
So, yeah, just... You know, or I'd rather, why just go, yeah, I'm just not going to do that. And I'm not going to make it aware to everybody that I'm not going to, because you don't need to do that. You don't need to voice that disgust for whatever it is that you don't like. Again, it's like people that don't like festivals. Well, there's a lot of shit. Perfect. Don't go. Don't spend your hard earned money on something you don't want to enjoy, that you won't enjoy even. So don't worry about it.
And don't put it down for people that do enjoy it, because people enjoy what they enjoy.
Exactly.
Be nice.
But talking of things that I find insanely weird, why do on a Sunday morning people queue outside of supermarkets? You know, I've never understood this.
Nope.
It's not open to what, 10 o'clock? And there's some do browsing for half an hour and then complain they can't buy anything. Don't go at that time then. What are you going to miss out on? Oh, they're going to have no eggs. I need eggs for my souffle. Like, Margaret, calm down. Do you know they're open until 4 p.m? Do you know you can actually enjoy your morning a little bit? The day of rest is meant to be, and then go later.
Never got it. Never understood it.
I was walking to work on Sunday, and there were fucking loads of people outside Tesco. And I was like, why? Stay in bed. I unfortunately can't. I have to go to work. Stay in fucking bed, people. What's wrong with you?
Fair enough, if people want to get up, get their shopping out of the way, fair enough, it's just part of... But it's those people that you're on about that moan and complain about it. I'm like, it's been this way for fucking years. You know what time. You don't like it. Don't get there so early, you dumb bastard. Oh, but I've got to get somewhere. Plan your life better.
Yeah, that, Jill. Yeah. You know, Jamie said, yeah. Plan your life better,
Jill.
Fucking hell. I knew Margaret. I knew Dave. Jesus Christ. Oh, he's got beers in football. Oh, get it. When are you getting on Saturday? I don't know.
Morrison having some guy complaining. Like, you've seriously got to wait 20 minutes. I only want a bottle of milk. I'm like, it's the fucking law. Wait. Go buy some more things. I don't know. Go away.
Just don't open until you can buy shit. Is the other thing. Like, what's this browsing time all about? So, as you can see, we're a supermarket. You already know what's here. Why are you browsing? Why do I need to show you? Why are you going to look around when you know we've already got?
And isn't browsing when you just look? So essentially, you're telling people to go look, but don't pick anything up. You can only browse.
It's so weird. It's just so weird. It's so fucking weird. How are you, Jamie?
I'm good, my friend. I'm rather tired because I'm on early, so I'm up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and it sucks balls. But other than that, I'm all right. I'm just a bit tired. How about you, my friend?
Yeah, fine. Absolutely fine. Just plodding, as they say.
Yes.
Is that a policeman word? Police officer, sorry. Plod. I don't know. Does anyone use that anymore?
Fucking PC plod.
Where did that come from?
I think it's a character, isn't it? Character Noddy or something. Yeah.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah. And for some reason, there are supposed to be rotund characters that are in control of things. The fat controller's another one. I mean, they didn't even fucking bother giving him a name. It's when he's fucking fat and he controls shit. Done. That's his name sorted.
They did change his name, though.
Did they?
Yeah, he's Mr. Top and Hat now.
Oh, because you can't put fat in things.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he wears a top hat, so it's still fucking...
Oh, Jesus literal. Christ. Well, I thought it's calling Bill or Greg.
Yeah. Greg.
You know what I mean? There's Gordon and James and Henry. Just give him a fucking first name. Why?
Greg the controller.
Well, it works.
It does work. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. What's he going to be called next? Black Coat McGee? I don't know. Fuck it. That's because I wear a black coat and my name's Gilbert. I don't fucking know where the gee came from. I made a joke and then I fucked it halfway through. It's basically what happened there. And I panicked and Gilbert was the first that came out of my face. I don't know what's going on here. I'm meant to be controlling trains, not worrying about what I'm fucking wearing to name myself. It's weird. I love the idea if he's not wearing a top hat and people don't know who the fuck he is.
Who the fuck's this guy?
Who's this twat?
Don't you tell me what to do, mate.
He looks awfully like Greg. I was going to Geg then. It looks a lot like Greg, but apparently his name's Gilbert. Who the fuck are you? You ain't controlling my trains. Thomas be well angry, I tell you, when he gets here. Wherever he fucking is. Didn't they barricade a train in one episode?
Yeah, they like built off a fucking brick wall in front of him.
You were shit. You're fucking going in. That's it. You're going to rust forever. Fuck you.
I can't remember what he did now. I know the episode. I remember it. I can't remember what he did, but it must have been fucking severe to lock him in a tunnel.
That's it. Your laugh's over, mate. Sorry about that.
We're going to bury your name,
Greg. So apparently we've got a bossman named Pat. It's quite a weird. It's a weird fucking crossover.
I'm amazed there was never like a Fireman Sam postman Pat crossover. That just seemed like
it's because Fireman Sam's Welsh. Yeah. So it's a different country altogether. But I love the idea of Postman Pat going to drive over a fucking train track and then there's like Hen just wipes him out. Do you know what I mean? And the kid's like, what's going on? Nothing, son. Obviously, there's a problem at studios. Obviously, a problem. They're trying to kill characters off now, trying to make it more mainstream.
What a crossover that would be. Pat's doing international deliveries. Thomas runs him over and Fireman Sam comes in to rescue him.
Yeah.
Sorted. Crossover. Done. Yeah.
It's like Pat gets wiped out when you see Jess fly. It goes to be continued at the bottom. Jess says, we don't condone harm to animals, especially if they're over their face. But still,
been hit by a train.
Yeah, but there's that video of that Amazon driver recently who in America who was delivering and he looked both ways, saw nothing, was driving over the train track. He got his like driver's seat cab over. And a train just fucking took the rest of the van out. And he just sat there like, shit.
Wheel as it went over the tracks. Look at that. The locomotive barrels through, splitting the van in two.
And he just sat there in his chair like, there's just nothing behind him back from his chair. So the chair got past and the rest of the van's gone. He's like, oh, well, fuck. I guess I'm going nowhere then. Could you imagine that? He looked both ways as well. It's not like he just went, fuck this train truck, I don't know this shit. But he literally was like, God. Van gone, but he's still sat there in a cab like, well, I'm still alive.
Like, so I don't have to deliver that shit anymore.
Yeah.
Okay,
could you imagine it? Like, sorry, your package is delayed. A train just destroyed it. And people are like, yeah, fucking right, Greg. What's wrong with you? Fucking, you're a fat controller. Now you're an Amazon.
I was going to say, Greg's getting around.
Yeah, sorry. I meant to change the name. And I, again, panicked, Jamie, during mid-show and just gave you the same name again. So, yeah, should have called him, I don't know, Bob or something. So, or Andre.
Ooh, Andre, the Amazon delivery driver. That's a modern postman, Pat, that is.
Yeah. Andre Amazon.
Andre Amazon.
But they definitely need to have some sort of like crossover with the kids' shows.
Yes, absolutely. Just multiverse all these kids' shows. Let's get it done.
Because kids' shows, I don't watch any of them, but I don't think they're as great as they used to be. Yeah. Like, do you remember the tweenies? Jesus Christ.
God, that was horrific.
Oh, we got Teletubbies, but for some reason, we need four puppets again, but we'll just call them different names. So we'll still give it a T, but we'll call it somewhere else.
Giant red dog and an old man. Job done.
Giant red dog?
Yeah, they had a dog and it was fucking huge.
What's Clifford doing? See, the crossover's already happening.
Not that big, but still big.
They had a big red dog, did they?
Yeah, well, I can't remember his name.
Where the high pitches came from there.
Is that a big red dog, is it? I don't know what his name was, though. Yeah, he was pretty tall. Like St. Bernard level to normal humans, sort of big.
Okay, which somehow seemed to be Swiss. Oh, no, it's their first aid thing, isn't it? Twat.
What?
I thought, for some reason, I forget they always carry whatever they carry on their neck in that barrel, St. Bernard's.
Oh, yeah, yes.
And I, for some reason, got mistaken with the fact that, because it's got a little cross on it, that they were Swiss, but they're not Swiss. Dude, like, it's been a long ass day today, right? That's what I'm blaming it on. I can't blame it on the fact it's like Friday or Monday. It's fucking Wednesday, so I can't blame that. I can blame the fact that it's an evening.
Yeah, that works.
Go with that. That works, doesn't
that
it?
Works.
What have you been doing yourself anyway?
Fuck all. I've had one day off work since we've last spoke, and I went to go see the kids that day. So we had a good day that day.
Ooh, how was it?
Went to go see the kids. We went bowling. Because we had a free voucher from the last time we went, so we went and played bowling again. And I won, because then I was incredibly sleep deprived. I was like, oh, I'm going to do shit today. Walked up for the first frame, strike. I was like, oh, maybe not that bad then. That was good fun. Yeah.
I love how proud you get of being children.
Fuck yeah, and the wife. It's fine.
I repeat. Sorry.
It's fine, she won't listen to this.
I'm sleep deprived. Oh. I'm not.
But yeah, that's pretty much it. Like, I've carried on with American Horror Story. I'm on season 4 now. I'm on the one that everyone rants circus. And raves about, the circusy one. The name of it has not come to my head.
The one I've actually watched.
Yeah. The clown is creepy as fuck. Like, clowns don't bother me, but damn, he is creepy. But yeah. No, I'm enjoying that one. It's good so far. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Pretty much it. What about you, my friend? What are you going up to?
Rihanna and Jay.
Yeah.
That's by my life. I did a 6-day stretch last week. I've had 2 days off so far this week already, but like, days off go, you go like, oh my God. Oh, 2 days off is going to be bliss. I'm at work. What?
Yeah.
Wait, hang on. What happened to Monday and Tuesday? Where did they go? The fuck's that? Bill? Greg? Greg! Yeah. So literally, they just went, bye.
Yeah.
So, oh, cool. Okay, no worries. That was great. But I've been literally smashing AW, like smashing it to catch up. And I've just watched the Copeland and Christian I Quit match, and that was great. So thoroughly enjoyed. So yeah, I'm smashing A-dubs at the moment because WWE, I'm not trying to backburner it too much, because I then don't want to be like, right, now let's catch up with that.
Yeah. And
then, you know, we're in this motion, so I'm trying to keep going with that at the same time. But literally my life has been Rihanna-ing and watching wrestling. That's literally all I've done. Like, literally all I've done. So
she's slowly getting there.
So yeah. Other than that, nothing to really report, my friend. Nothing's really going on, to be honest with you.
And it's been a weird week. It's going fucking slow, I know that much.
Is it?
I think it's because I had one day off. Like, my days off last week were Monday and Sunday, so I had that stretch. And then my days off this week are Saturday, Sunday. So, look, my days off are really far apart, so I'm just like, come on, Saturday. You're so close. Come to me. And it just goes really slow.
Yeah, you always feel like you get to your day off and you're like, I can't be fucked to do anything. And then it's fucking Monday again. You're like, okay, cool, well, never mind.
Yeah, but at least I'm on nights Monday. I like working nights, so bring that on. Oh, and we did an interview this week. Probably should have
mentioned
that.
Shit, but yeah.
We're so not used to saying it.
Yeah, I mean, it's been like 2 months nearly. Which is insane. Which is actually insane. So yeah, we did do an interview with that you've just heard. You heard it at the beginning of this episode. And it was great to be back into the swing of it again. It was nice. It was a nice feeling. It's a nice thing to have. So I hope you all enjoyed that.
Oh, I think we're all caught up then, my friend.
Very quickly that was. Jesus fucking Christ. Yeah.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Brayden from Say We Can Fly. Just letting you know, we've got a brand new merch store out there.
Please let me say the link. Let me say the link, please.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Yes, you can say the link.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
So the link for the shop.
The link for the shop is www.saywecanfly.shop.
All right. Good job, Seamus. So www.saywecanfly.shop. 10% off if you use the code.
Let me say the code, please.
Okay, fine. You can say the code. If you use the code.
The code is DeChronicles.
What? No, it's not.
DeChronicles.
No, it's not. It's The Chronicles, Seamus.
Yeah, that's what I said.
The Chronicles at checkout, all right? You get 10% off.
10% off.
Yes, yes, they know. They know, Seamus. Okay.
I'm just trying to help, all right?
Visit www.saywecanfly.shop and use code THECHRONICLES for 10% off your order. Available at participating Say We Can Fly restaurants and web stores. Some restrictions may apply, but probably not.
So, Jay.
Yes, sir.
Do you believe it's time for your favorite segment of the week?
Oh, yeah, it is.
Time for Callum's Treaches.
Do you want to know something? Callum will be able to tell you in Callum's Treachings.
It's cereal soup.
Ooh.
Hello, this week's Treachings come from the set of my own podcast, That Gym Couple Podcast, that I host with my partner, Lucy, where we discuss all things gyms, fitness, gym anxiety, and a bunch of other stuff in between. If you do have the opportunity to come and check us out at That Gym Couple Podcast on Spotify and YouTube, we'd very much appreciate it.
Callum is back once again. Treat the nation, the world, the universe. I know them on Qui-Gon 12. Absolutely love this bit. So, yeah. I thought it was funnier, Jamie. Never mind.
I didn't understand what you said.
I said in the universe, them on Qui-Gon 12.
Okay, yeah, that was good. Now I understand what you meant.
No, demand, because I fucked. Now I'm explaining.
No, you didn't fuck it. That was on me.
That's
on me.
Bullshit.
So no, that was good. That was on me. I'll tell you.
Dear God. Anyway, apologize. That's fine. What's Callum Treaches this week?
We have the technology to pump milk like we do water into every home in the country. I know it's unsanitary, but surely that's a better way of doing it.
That'd be mint.
Milk tap. That'd be amazing.
That'd be unbelievable.
God, for you and your fucking cereal, you'd be well away.
I'd be... Farmers would love me. Farmers would fucking love me. The amount of tea I drink and coffee drink in a day as well. Oh, my God. They'd be millionaires.
Oh, my milk bills come through the post. $7,000!
Yeah. Oh, not to get a better go to work for Bill down fucking farm. So, do you know what? I might as well live here, mate. Might as well fucking live here, the amount of milk I drink of yours.
That'd be bad fucking cow.
It's a fucking genius idea. It's such a clever idea.
It's a great idea, to be fair.
But then obviously you've got to think that money side of it and the government would be like, well, we want our cut, and then bollocks like that, but...
Yeah.
Down for it.
Like you said, incredibly unhygienic, I imagine.
Oh, yeah, but I'm sure they could think of some filtration system. There's got to be something they could fit in. That's a Dragon's Den shout right there. Copyright Callum Treachings. Copyright Callum Treach for that. There's got to be some genius way. I wish I could have some unlimited cereals. I get really fucking ill. But it would just be the best thing. I'd have no teeth, but it'd be the best thing in the world. It'd just be great.
Gum in your golden grahams to death.
I mean, they are elite level cereal.
They are good. I don't know why I said golden grahams. I haven't had them in years. They're the first thing that popped in my head, but they are good.
Leah Shook ever put them up as well. On Instagram yesterday, and it's elite level cereal that, and I can't fucking find them, so I wonder where she found them. But I'm actually gutted that Serial Killer Cafe's closed.
I know, I never got to go to that.
No, I'm heartbroken beyond fucking belief, because that I think it was like a lot of money for a per bowl, but you know, I'd rather be homeless to be able to eat there than that's pay all my fucking bills that I pay now. But there has to be some sort of mechanism where we can just get like unlimited cereal, and milk on tap would be unbelievable.
Amen. Just go to wherever you go to get your new kitchen fitted. Yes, I like that tap. That tap, and can I have a semi-skim tap as well to go as well with that?
Well, they've got the hot tap now that just comes hot straight away rather than having to wait for it to be. Oh, yeah, there's a fucking load of militant vegans right now going, you fucking what? Kick your ass, you pieces of shit.
We'll have a soya and an oat milk tap. It's fine.
How do you make that work, though?
I have no idea. I don't even know how we're going to get the cow's milk one to work. We can make it work.
Just directly up to the cow.
Yeah. Straight up to the oat. I'm on it.
To the oat. I've always wondered how they do that. Almond milk is absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful, but the rest of it, like rice milk and stuff, like what is wrong with you?
Soy milk is the most disgusting thing I think I've ever tasted.
It's not too bad, but it's just, I don't know, you just get used to it, wouldn't you, eventually? Yeah. But almond milk's lovely, with cereal especially. So anything with cereal. So yeah, we need some sort of milk pump line that we can put in all around the country. I reckon supermarkets will become warehouses soon. It'll be full of pickers rather than getting to go and pick your shit. I really do.
It wouldn't surprise me. There is already some supermarkets that literally don't have any staff and stuff, do they? Like, it's going that way.
Yeah, definitely. But anyway, we should get off this political soapbox. Sorry. Probably. Jamie.
Yes, sir.
What else is Callum Treacher's this week?
As TVs are getting bigger, there are fewer and fewer games that you can play split screen on.
Oh,
that's a fucking good point.
The good old split screen.
Oh,
I know. Rocket League split screen. But, the good old days. GoldenEye.
Oh.
Toe Jam and Earl.
No, I don't know that name.
Sonic.
Yeah, it was.
It was great. And it would be split across the middle, wouldn't it? Not down the middle.
Yeah.
Horizontal. Yeah. Fucking hell. I tell you, right, this fucking Wednesday is killing me. No, and it'd be great.
I mean, the racing games would have like the top and the bottom one and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's true, though. They don't do anything like that anymore, really, do they?
Huh. I suppose a split screen now, it's still like a whole TV to yourself.
Well, yeah, that's very true. But I remember the Lego games used to be split screen, and now it's like you're just together, and when one wanders off, it sort of has its own separate thing. I don't like the way it works now. It's weird. I don't like it.
Isn't that a split screen, Jay?
Yeah, but I don't like the way it does it. It used to just be solid split screen, and now it's like it's free roaming split screen, and it's weird. I don't like it.
Okay. Yeah. I need to upgrade mine. Mine's only 55 inches.
Only.
For sports. With the Euros coming up. If only I had the money. That would be unbelievable. But just imagine, I'm assuming eventually there'd be like, the TV would be the wall.
Yeah. Or the TV would just be in your head at some point.
No, it'd be too close, wouldn't it? You'd go fucking cross-eyed. You'd go blind if you had it. Your eyes will turn to squares if you get it too close. So
just put the Google glasses. You could just sit there and watch TV.
Ray-Bans, you can read your messages and stuff now, can't you?
Oh, yeah, I remember seeing them. I think
you've
seen that on the show.
Yeah, weird. Don't be that contactable, thank you. And finally, Jamie, what else is Callum treating us this week?
A bus arriving late is way better than a bus arriving early.
Million.
Very true.
Million. Trillion percent.
Absolutely. There's nothing worse. You see the bus, you run for it, you get there, look at the time, you go, that was fucking early. I didn't need to run.
I hate it when you're walking up and it's at a T-junction and you're walking up and you get to the end and the bus goes, meh. Bye, motherfucker! The bus driver might as well go.
Bus drivers are bastards anyway, because you know they see people running for the bus and they're like, I'll let him get a little bit closer, a little bit, and now I'm going to drive off. But they don't wait for no one.
You're going to be here in 5, 4... Oh, I can't be asked.
Exactly that.
I know they've got times for me. They've got to be strict to their times and everything else. I think they get monitored on where they get to stops and all that sort of thing. But I mean, you know when they do that random shit where they're driving and then they get to the middle of nowhere and they just sit there for 10, 15 minutes? You're like, what's going on here? Like, why don't you get to the destination? I suppose, though, because people would be like, well, the bus is meant to... That's okay. I've, like, fucked myself there.
Because buses have terminus stops where they literally, they stop and then they turn around and go the opposite way. But they do have an end stop. So, yeah.
Yeah, but you don't want to get to a point where you break in and then you're, like, 15 minutes early. and then go, well, no one's here. Because then the person's going to rock up 10 minutes later and go, well, where the fuck's the bus at?
Well, that is very true.
So yeah. You can't really make jokes out of this, Callum. What's going on? but I think it depends if you get on the day, what day they're having. It's like train drivers could be, a train ticket guys could be absolute wankers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it just, I think it just depends on what day they're having, I suppose. But yeah, I have a feeling that a lot of them, there's probably a lot of them that go like, how many people can you leave behind? How many people can you leave behind?
We're going to get back to the depots and like, you won't fucking believe how many people I left behind today.
They put like a tally chart on the wall.
There was this old woman running for the bus so she could get there early at the supermarket on Sunday. I just fucking ran off. Not happening, Doris.
But yes, Callum, you are spot on. You are. It's better to arrive late. It's the one that just don't deliver at all. It's even weirder. You're like, I've been here for 50 minutes. And I suppose it was a restaurant 40 minutes ago. Where the fuck is it? Where is the other one?
They're always early or late. I don't think buses are ever on time. I got the bus at 5 o'clock this morning and it was late. I'm like, what traffic have you hit?
Is it just a stupidly British thing of us, though? You're not on time. You're not here. You know, we're not going to take into account the weather, traffic, people around, how many people took to pay for their tickets, all this other shit. No, you were meant to be here at 9:56. It is now 11:20. Where the fuck have you been? You know what I mean? It's sent to my... Whereas everywhere else, Japan, India, they don't give a fuck. Let's just get in. Let's get in that train and fucking who gives a shit.
You'll get there whenever the fuck you get there, right?
In Japan, they can squeeze in like fucking sardines. Here, yeah. Oh, no chance. Watch me pram. Do you mind? I'm quite a big person. What are you doing? I've got four kids here. What's wrong with you? Japanese people, blah, 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 blah. Just get in. Just fuck it. Who cares?
Get it done. Get there.
Literally, it's like nose to nose of people being like, konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa.
Arigato. So, yeah, I suppose they're going to talk about personal space in Japan.
Nope. As long as that bullet train's running and getting there on time, fuck cares.
What a film. Anyway, Callum, thank you so much once again for some unbelievable treats. And now once I have to follow this shit, Jay. What am I gonna do? The treats aren't shit, by the way. I meant follow it because this is always great and I always go. Stop Tom's journal. And welcome to another edition of Tom's Journal. Jamie.
Yes.
A conversation between Judas and Jesus. Judas. Still Friday, Jesus. Jesus, Friday? Judas, yeah. Last supper. Jesus, the what? Judas, supper. Normal supper with the fellas.
I love the idea of Judas, but like, supper with the lads, you know?
Isn't it, fam?
Don't.
Me. Oh, fake yawning, put my armor on their shoulder. The guy at the urinal next to me. Fuck are you doing?
What would you do if that happened?
I'd be like, yeah, mate. What's going on? Enjoying your piss? God, he's struggling there, isn't he? Fucking hell. Someone. The drunk mind speaks sober heart. My drunk ass. Barlet Gred. It's so true, though. Isn't it?
It is so true.
You don't know what it is, right, is it?
No, you always say what you mean when you're drunk because you don't care what people think. I'm like, I just shouted old Greg down a high street. I'm not making any sense right now.
Yeah, you fucking idiot. Jamie, the sluttiest thing a man can do is open both doors at Helm's Deep at the same time.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Arrogant. Knock, knock, motherfuckers. Here is the 2024 UK weather report. April, wet. May, still wet. June, hot and wet. July, hosepipe band somehow. August, wet again. September, wet, but water prices will go up, obviously, because Britain. September, sorry, October, spooky and wet. November, fireworks and wet.
Wet.
December, festivities and wet.
All I can think of when you do that voice is sail.
Like... sail! And when you come back for another, there's another sail! Yeah, sorry. There'll be some people watching going like, oh, well, that's in my head now. I can't sleep. Thanks, you prick.
But no, very true. Especially at the minute, the current weather is batshit fucking crazy and does
it's
not know what it's doing.
Yeah. No! Fucking I've almost horrible. Lost my hat about four times. That windy is. Fucking asshole. Anyway, do you know what, right? I really miss being able to study with complete focus for hours. Now, I read one sentence, check my phone, see if penguins have legs or just feet.
Why haven't I thought? That's a good point, actually. Do that?
They probably have legs under the feathers.
Probably. Yeah. It doesn't look like they do. But no, very, very true. I remember trying to read the fucking highway code to study when I was doing my driving lesson. So I was just like, I can't focus on this. This is so boring. I have no focus.
No. So, this attention spans are fucked now.
Yeah.
But it's just when you forget to water your plants and they're probably like, man, I'm fucking photo sick of this.
I want to say that was a stupid entry, but it was fucking great at the same time.
Oh,
right.
That
was good.
This was some fucking superb marketing in Florida for the new Ghostbusters movie. Driving down the highway, you know those signs overhead that are like slow accident or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah? This one said, who are you going to call? No one, because you're driving.
Brilliant.
Oh,
that's that that's is so it's excellent. Been a while. Super.
Absolutely excellent. Me staggers into the yard out of breath. Oh, there's milkshake.
I sang that the other day and Olivia did not believe me that it was a real song. I had to put it on before she'd believe me that it was a real song.
Why did she believe it was real?
Probably because it's just the most ridiculous sounding song in the world. My milkshakes bring all the boys to the yard.
Yeah, it makes no fucking sense to me either. Jamie, booby trap spelled backwards is party boob.
Was that intentional, do you reckon?
I don't know, but it actually does.
Yeah, it does. That's fucking brilliant.
And finally, Jamie, what if umbrellas were supposed to be called brellas, but the person who named them hesitated?
That has got to be one of the strongest journal entries in a while. That is fucking super.
Brellas? Yeah. And that was another edition of Tom's Journal. Do you enjoy that one, Joe?
I really like that one. What should we call it? Umbrella? Yes, Umbrella. God, there you
great
go.
Name, yeah.
That's really tickled me. Oh, superb as always, though.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
It's about getting into schools and talking to young people because, you know, I know that people can change. And it's about talking to people and getting them to understand and perhaps step back from violence and prejudice and whatever. And we just need to work together and keep on the good fight there.
Absolutely.
Hey there, guys. We are ecstatically happy to announce that we are associated with the Sophie Lancaster Foundation.
The times are changing, and with the unfortunate death of Sophie, those changes have made a massive impact for the future. If Sophie was with us still today, I can guarantee what you are doing will still be reaching so many lives of young teenagers, young adults, and those who wish to be as different as possible. So thank you very much.
To find out more about this incredible foundation and all the work they do, and more importantly, how you can help, head on over to www.sophielancasterfoundation.com.
Mr. Stevens.
What song was that?
If you smell.
All right, then, if that's how you want to play it. Judge, me.
I want my name said like that forever, though.
It'll take too fucking long. You'll be there for minutes waiting.
It's audience participation time.
Participate, bitch. Meow, participate, bitch. Meow, participate, bitch.
And that right there was the main event of WrestleMania 17. Sorted.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to participate in Jamie's Participation Challenge.
I want to be something a little bit different this week, sort of a bit reflective. As if you could give one piece of advice to your younger self, what would it be? What say you, Mr. Stevens?
Don't move.
Yeah, that's a fair one.
I literally left my mum's, as soon as I turned 18, I was gone. Don't do that again.
Yeah.
Save some dollar.
A lot of these were money related. I don't think you're on your own with that one. Nah. Mine's just look after yourself better. Just, yeah. Because I spent way too much of my life hating how I looked and how big I was. So, yeah. Probably shouldn't have got myself in that situation in the first place.
But hindsight's a wonderful thing. And look at you now. Yes. Look at you now.
Put most of it back on. I'll get there. It's fine. Let's get some audience answers. We'll go first one from Twitter. We haven't had an answer off there in a while. Albertina McNeil says, be brave. It won't be as difficult as it looks. I like that.
Nice.
Not. On the opposite spectrum, Ruby Goodwin. It gets worse. Melissa Daly, what I tell my daughter every day, you are brave, beautiful, and strong. I like that a lot. Especially when we're young, we probably do a bit of a encouragement. Graham Arnold, depends on how old young me was, but it'd probably be something along the lines of buy stocks in Google or trademark the word Pokemon. Clever. Just thinking of his pockets. I like it. Clever. Gemma Williams, I tell her to stop standing back and allowing others to go before you, and joining a drama group will bring you out of your nervous shell. Oh, and don't get a credit card. Yeah, that's a good enough one. Yeah. Abby Lloyd, same man the lawyer I said, don't let yourself get fat. There. Edward Herbert, don't worry about what other people think of you. You won't even think of them in a few months' time.
So true.
So fucking true. Oh, John Johnstone, get out of the UK as soon as possible.
Yeah, that would be my other one. So yeah.
Justin Lee, I like this one. Be you. Do you. Be proud. Never look back. People will talk about you, but if you don't care, it won't hurt. Just live your life.
Yeah.
Superb. Love it. Paul Payne, make more of an effort at school and don't get yourself into debt buying things on store cards and financing. A lot of people have financial lessons to themselves. Lydia Manson, I feel like there's a story behind this one. Don't make friends off the internet.
I mean, isn't that what we are?
Yeah, that's a good point, Lydia.
Yeah.
Think about that. Yeah. Lydia, what's wrong with us? Huh? Scott MacArthur. I feel like I felt this one in my bones. Stop worrying. I always worry about everything. I get that one. Robbie Williams. Listen to the adults. They've seen it before and give sound advice. You should listen to them. Yeah, enough of that. They don't know anything. They're not cool. Now, the next two are very similar, but they've really made me laugh. Andy Powers. Invest in Bitcoin. Is Bitcoin that big of a thing?
There we are. Cryptocurrency is quite big, though, isn't it? A lot of people making a lot of money off a lot of fake currency. So.
And PR Brown, don't lol at Bitcoin. So there we are.
We love PR.
We do love PR.
What a legend.
Oh, I'll give you three more. So the final one I just have to do it. Josh Clark. Don't sell your 10-plus-year-old original run Charizard card for £16 at a Comic-Con. However depressed you get, that is one material possession to keep a hold of. Fuck, I can only imagine how much that must have been worth now. But he's absolutely kicking himself.
Yeah.
Mally Malpass. Strap in, motherfucker. It's going to be a bumpy ride. And last but not least, it's our wonderful friend, Ryan Williams. I hope I did. Oh, sorry. Ignore Kathy and try and get her out of your life ASAP. I don't know who Kathy is, but sound advice, Ryan. Invest, invest, invest. Don't put your comic collection into storage. Don't beat yourself up that you don't provide for your daughter the way society has to deem okay. You're a damn good dad and a provider. Yes, as long as you're providing, don't matter what you're doing. Try to learn something new every day. Really like that one. Don't use alcohol to escape your problems. Don't regret the decision to focus on your daughter versus focus on your career. Absolutely. Kids are more important. And love the world the way your daughter loves you. I absolutely love that one. Like, fucking, we love you, Ryan. We say it every week, and I'll say it every other week and all. We fucking love you to death, Ryan. Man, that is everything for this week.
Nice. Lovely. We appreciate everybody that participates in Jamie's Participation Challenge. So thank you to everyone again that invested in, you know, the challenge itself. Or you should have invested yourselves when you were younger.
Invested into Bitcoin, apparently.
Yeah, exactly, Andy. Come on. Come on. But if you enjoy Jamie's Participation Challenge, Tom's Journal, Callum's Treachings, the Are You Sure? And the interview, then you enjoy the other 126 editions of the Chronicles of Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts from, whether it be Google, Spotify, Apple, etc., etc. The main places you can find us are all social media at TCO Pod and on YouTube mainly at the Chronicles of Podcast. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, hit that bell to get notified of new videos are released, and comment to your heart's fucking content. It would mean everything to us. So that's all social media at TCO Pod and subscribe on YouTube at the Chronicles of Podcast. Jamie, do you have a few words to say?
Yes, I do, actually. Before we get out of here, let's say a massive thank you to a few of our friends. Every single piece of music you heard on today's show was brought to you by the wonderful Mr. Matt Roberts. Go check him out on all social medias at Matt Roberts Music. Get in his inbox and say, Matt, when are you giving us some new music? It's been a while. But go listen to everything that he's got out there already, because it's damn good stuff. And of course, we have to say a massive thank you to Mr. Braden Barry and his SayWeCanFly.shop. Head on over to www.saywecanfly.shop. Grab yourself whatever you like the look of. It could be a hat. It could be a CD. It could be some signed lyrics. Whatever you like the look of, add it to your basket. Enter that discount code, The Chronicles, and get yourself 10% off the order. And of course, we have to say a massive thank you to the Sophie Lancaster Foundation. They are stamping out prejudice, hatred, and intolerance everywhere. And I mean everywhere. This is not a UK issue. This is a global issue where people in the alternative community are being treated differently for the way they dress, the music they listen to, whatever it may be. If you're not familiar with Sophie's story, head on over to www.sophielancasterfoundation.com. Familiarize yourself with that story and find out what you can do to help, whether it's buying a hoodie, whether it's spreading that message, getting yourself a fashionable wristband, whatever it may be. Just help us support them in every way we possibly can. And last but not least, from myself, massive thank you to this handsome fellow as always.
Appreciate you, my friend. Right back at you. How are you?
How are you?
Yeah. How are you? I don't know. Fucking know. I'm not down with the kids anymore, fam. Massive, massive thank you to Ian and Adam of Amongst Liars. We had so much fun chatting to you. And everybody go check out the new album Design. It's out on July 4th. So while you're waiting for it, go and check out Amongst Liars' back catalogue, because it's fucking what, Jamie?
Oh, superb.
You heard it from the man himself. So as for this week, we'll see you all next week for the Chronicles of Pretty Addicted.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Ta.